I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my friend and colleague. We're exploring the challenge of the People's Republic of China's People's Liberation Army Navy in the East Asian waters, especially those contained by what is called the First Island Chain. We welcome Rick Fisher, a senior fellow at the International Assessment and Strategy Center, to introduce us to a conversation looking to be a cooperation between Japan and Indonesia, turning on the very impressive-looking, and I need to learn more, Mogami-class frigates. Rick, a very good evening to you. Japan and Indonesia, there's a fresh turn. What's in it for Japan, and what is a Mogami-class frigate? How does it apply to the concerns of the First Island Chain? Good evening to you, Rick.
Good evening, John and Gordon. This is a momentous development. Japan has been exporting weapons now for most of the last decade, and they're upping their game. They're signing bilateral defense agreements with countries around Asia, working on Southeast Asia, most recently at the end of March with Indonesia. And all along, they have been promoting their new stealthy Mogami-class frigate. This is a 5,000-ton ship, but it is definitely stealthy. It employs a phased array radar and has lots of space for vertical launchers. And what's really interesting, though, is that Japan is getting into the business of developing new anti-ship missiles, supersonic anti-ship missiles and hypersonic speed anti-ship missiles. So if you buy the Japanese frigate, before too long, you can upgrade with the Japanese missiles. And this is a very important leap in capability for Indonesia or Southeast Asia in general. And it will contribute substantially to the deterrence of the People's Liberation Army Navy.
Gordon, over the years, you've made it very clear that it does no better manufacturing anything than it does enmity with its neighbors. It's, in fact, alienated most of the Southeast Asia with its, what you'd have to say, imperial attitude, and certainly its enmity with Japan is grounded in history but hasn't been improved by diplomacy. But I'm unaware of a China in Indonesia because Indonesia is such a large and a very difficult thing to generalize about. What I do know is that it's the world's largest Muslim state. Does China have working relations with Indonesia? Is it welcome there? Are its businessmen welcome there, Gordon?
Well, Indonesia has a long history with ethnic Chinese Indonesians, which sometimes hasn't been too happy. But its relations with Beijing have generally been good, except when Beijing has been aggressive. China, it was only recently disclaimed a territorial claim to the Natuna Islands, which are very, very, very close to the main Indonesian islands and very far from China. But interestingly, what China has done is it's not disclaimed the exclusive economic zone that would normally attach to Indonesia. This is causing friction. We've seen Chinese fishing vessels in Indonesian waters. This has really been a time where China has provoked Jakarta.
You have a question for Rick, Gordon.
Rick, with this new class of Japanese frigate, is this something that Tokyo would be willing to sell to Taiwan?
Excellent question, Gordon. Taiwan is, at this moment, developing their own next-generation stealth frigate. However, it is certainly within the realm of possibility that Taiwan would try to acquire some advanced Japanese stealth technologies or radar electronic technologies to assist their frigate program.
The puzzle, Rick, about the building of these ships, one of the challenges the U.S. Navy has is that it needs shipyards to build. It has ambitions, but you can't get there by just wishing the ship up. Does Japan have up-to-date shipyards to build these frigate class? Does Indonesia? Are there yards for the build-out that they're proposing?
Well, certainly in Japan, the Mitsubishi Corporation, which has designed the Mogami-class frigate, has shipyards. They've launched two so far, and Japanese Navy plans to acquire many more. Now, transferring that capability to Indonesia would be an expensive undertaking, but something that Indonesia would value, because they would value an independent means to build these frigates and to build their successors, most likely with Japanese cooperation.
Speaking of expensive, Rick, there's also an item that you've sent to our attention about the F-35, that very famous and costly and fantastic fifth-generation aircraft that is a sales item to our allies around the world and not a sales item to our adversaries. Japan has F-35s. Are they a factor in this defense of the first island chain?
Absolutely, John. The Japanese have just recently revealed in the last several days that they are going to be basing their first short takeoff F-35B versions in the southern part of Kyushu Island. From the air base in question, F-35A has just enough range to reach the Senkaku Islands. The F-15 fighters currently at this base have enough range to reach the Taiwan Strait and spend some time on patrol or in combat. But the F-35B is going to be also deployed on Japan's two large landing helicopter dock ships of the Izumo class. And I imagine they will be spending time in Okinawa and in the islands in the southern part of the Ryukyu Island chain, Sakishima's, also well-positioned to help defend the Senkakus.
You have a question for Rick on the F-35, Gordon.
Rick, it sounds like Japan is accelerating its plans to move its military from the north, where it was configured to fight Russia, down to the south, where it'll be available for a fight with the Chinese. Is Japan moving fast enough in transferring its forces southward?
Gordon, I share your concern. A war over Taiwan could, in reality, be a near-term tragedy. The Japanese plan to build up forces, especially in the Sakishimas, towards the middle of the decade. They're taking a big chance in making an extended deployment. I would strongly urge our friends in Japan to accelerate the deployment of missiles to the Sakishimas, especially, and to outfit the airfields down there to be able to accommodate the F-35.
The Japanese are part of what was called the Quad in the Trump administration, and I've not seen anything that says that the Biden administration is going to discontinue the Quad. So we're not looking at Japan acting on its own. Is that correct, Rick? Australia, India, and the United States would be part of any conflict over Taiwan.
Well, one would hope that the Japanese would be providing many levels of support to American forces that would very likely be immediately engaged, and that Japanese forces would, in good time, join the fray. However, Japan would have some responsibility in countering any potential Russian assistance to the Chinese in such a conflict. This is a great concern that I have, that the Russians will deploy submarines, their long-range bombers, and new nifty combat frigates to assist a Chinese invasion.
Rick Fisher is a senior fellow at the International Assessment and Strategy Center. We are entertaining a conflict over Taiwan not because we read science fiction, but because in the news all the time now are repeated threats by the People's Republic of China against Taiwan under Xi Jinping. And what we've learned in the last century is when predators say they're going to do something, pay attention. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.